seasons, I've been consciously thinking of practicing the presence of God, and I'm reminded as the worship team has led us into, I would say, the very throne room of God. Just reminded that God is always present to us, and with that, if God is present to us, let's be present to Him. So my encouragement is, while you're here, be here. you probably have things to take care of this afternoon or this week, but in these moments, let's pause and see if God has something for us this morning. And so we're in the middle of a sermon series called Practicing the Way. We want to practice the way of Jesus. And if you haven't been with us, we've been looking at Jesus's open invitation, an open invitation to everybody to come and be his, the Hebrew word is talmidim or disciple. Jesus says, come, whoever will become my disciple. And we've been looking at how disciples order their lives around three goals. Here's the three goals as a disciple. One, to be with Jesus, actually be present with Jesus. Two, to become like Jesus, to allow his Holy Spirit to transform us where we become like him. And then thirdly, is to go out and do what Jesus did. And if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you're going to have to adopt the habits or the lifestyle of Jesus. Sometimes we want to experience his life without the lifestyle. And so to that end, we've discovered that there's some practices that Jesus had in his life. There are practices in which the Holy Spirit tends to speak. And we've come up with eight. We're not going to limit the Holy Spirit, but we're going to talk about eight practices of Jesus and places where the Holy Spirit tends to speak. And these eight practices we're looking at are silence and solitude, prayer, fasting, Sabbath, Bible reading, living in community, living simply, and stewardship and ministry. And one of the ongoing discussion points in my connection group that continues to come up is that spiritual maturity doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. And by the way, it doesn't happen unintentionally. It takes an intentional effort to grow spiritually. Now, it's a work of grace, but we need to join God where he's working. And slow growth, by the way, is lasting growth. Slow growth is lasting growth. And we need to start where we're at. We're all at different places in life. And so start where you are. Put the practices of the habits of Jesus, put those into practice. Richard Foster, he says this in Celebration of Discipline. He writes this. He says, superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is primarily a spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but deep people. The classical disciplines of the spiritual life call us to move beyond the surface living into the depths. They invite us to explore the inner caverns and spiritual realm. They urge us to be the answer to a hollow world. So understand, we're not talking about escapism. We're talking about preparing to enter and engage the mission field. So today we want to look at silence and solitude, and I'll give you a definition and then we'll jump into some scripture. Silence and solitude is intentional time in the quiet to be alone with ourselves and God. And we desperately need this in our world today. Intentional time to be quiet, to be alone with ourselves and with God. And there's this great story of a prophet named Elijah, and maybe many of you are familiar with this. He has this incredible experience where he confronts the prophets of these false gods, but then afterwards he becomes this victim of fear and doubt, and he runs away. And we'll pick up just a couple verses of his story. 1 Kings 9:11-12, and there should be Bibles And then the backs of the seats, it's going to be on the screens. And you have a Bible right here if you didn't know that. Go to the welcome table. They'll help you find it on your phone if you need that. So 1 Kings verse 9, chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke it in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. So I want you to listen very carefully here. God spoke to Elijah in a low whisper. Or as the King James says, in a still small voice. So I'm looking at that passage and I'm thinking, if God sometimes chooses to speak in a low whisper or a still small voice, are there things that you and I can do to actually hear that voice? Or maybe a better question is, are there things that I'm doing that hinder me hearing that still, small voice? If we're honest, we're a distracted people. We live in a society that is continually bombarded with distractions. I mean, just think of the last year. Full of distractions and tons of things coming at us. And in my own life, I think about my own overconsumption of news and social media. And then I look at my email and whatever social media inboxes that are just flooded with videos that I need to watch right now before they take that thing down. And in the process of all this, you know, people would say, hey, did you watch that video that I sent you? And you know what? I finally had to tell people that I'm actually overwhelmed, overinformed, and for my own mental health, my own spiritual health, I don't even open 90% of those things. I just don't. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that to sound smug or arrogant or mean. I actually felt bad in some cases for not looking at that. But I came to this conclusion that all the noise and all the distraction is robbing us. It's robbing us of our ability to be present to one another, ourselves, and most importantly to God. And we need a change there. A man named Andrew Sullivan, in a New York Times Magazine article, he describes his own journey away from distraction and what he called addiction in a piece he called, I Used to Be a Human Being. And he wrote this. I'm going to give you some highlights of what he wrote. He said, the reason we live in a culture that's increasingly without faith is not because science has somehow disproved the unprovable, but because of the white noise of secularism has removed the very stillness in which it might endure or be reborn. He continues and he says this. He says, if churches came to understand that the greatest threat to faith today is not hedonism, but distraction. He says, perhaps they might begin to appeal to a new frazzled digital generation. Christian leaders seem to think they need more distraction to counter the distraction. And he says, but this new epidemic of distraction in our civilizations is our civilization's specific weakness. He's saying distraction is our weakness. And its threat is not so much to our minds, even though they shape-shift under pressure. He says the threat is to our souls. And at this rate, if the noise does not relent, we might even forget we have any. Man, I thought that was powerful. So in the middle of the chaos, because the noise is going to be out there, So in the middle of the noise and the chaos that vies for my attention, vies for your attention, God whispers this. Psalm 46:10, be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 37:7, he says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Man, this flies in the face of our world and what we say is important and how to live. And if we're going to go deep, if we're going to go deep in a hollow world, in an empty world, and we can call it hollow and shallow, we're going to need to learn to be still. If we're going to follow the whispers, if God speaks in whispers, then I think the logical conclusion is we're going to need to learn how to stop regularly and become undistracted and listen. Or we say, okay, God, you are here and now I'm here and I recognize your presence and I want to hear from you. So if we're going to do that, we're going to need to spend regular time in silence and solitude. And I'm going to recommend start where you're at. If you don't have any time like that, maybe it's 5 minutes a day. Maybe it's 20 minutes a day. Or maybe, you know, for me, when I said this a couple weeks ago, I'm not saying God broke my radio, but my radio quit working when I started thinking about this process and following God and this silence and solitude. And I've come to the place where I think, I don't think I'm going to fix that. I think God is showing me to have that silence and that solitude and that I could be with him. And we're not talking about isolating ourselves from the world and its problem. You know, hey, I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to forget all that. I'm going to hang out with this little safe place with God. We're not talking about ditching community or ministry. We're actually going to talk about community in a few weeks. We're talking about quite the opposite. We're talking about how do we, as God's people, as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we put ourselves in the best position to be available to God and to others? All right? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he put it this way. Let him who cannot be alone be aware of community. He will only do harm to himself and the community. Wayne Cordero says this. He says, solitude is a chosen separation for refining your soul. Isolation is what you crave when you neglect the first. Powerful stuff there. And throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus doing this all the time. Matthew 14:23, it says, after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 5:15-17, vast crowds came to hear him preach and were to be healed. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. As I go through the Gospels, I can't help but notice that Jesus has built in this habit into his life to get away and get alone with God in silence and solitude. Anybody remember what Jesus did the month before he launched public ministry? I know what it takes to launch a church. I know what it takes to plant a church. I don't know what it takes to launch the kingdom of God. but a month before Jesus did that, he spent 40 days in the wilderness alone with God. And that's when Satan came to attack him. And I think lots of times, I know for me previously, I'm like, yeah, sure, Satan waits till he's 40 days out in the desert and he hasn't eaten anything and now he's weak. And the more I look at it, I go, no, the Father said, You need these 40 days because you're going to be strong when you do that. When the devil comes to attack and to attempt. And here's the thing. If I want to follow Well, how many here? I mean, you can raise your hand if you want. How many of you want to hear God's voice? You want to follow those prompts? You want to experience God? Anybody here at all like that? Darn near most of you. That is awesome. If we're going to do that, we need to be with God. We need to hit that pause button and be with him. We need to carve out time in your schedule. I don't know about you. Sometimes for me, some things don't happen unless I put them on the calendar or until I say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to step out of the rush and I'm going to simply be. I'm going to simply be with God in the quiet. Now, my thought is in a group this big, some of you are like, Pastor, I'm way too busy for that. You don't know what my schedule looks like. Take 20, 30, 60 minutes, you know, out of a week, out of a day. You can't be serious. I'm serious, right? Here's the question. Are you busier than Jesus? Are you busier than Jesus? And perhaps you are, but that might be part of the issue then. I mean, think about how busy Jesus is. Let me reread this. It says, vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed. So vast crowds, people are coming. And you're thinking, man, I just got to keep working. I got to keep working. And it says, but Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness for prayer. It's almost like, Father, we have so much to do. I need to pause. I need to pause and I need to be alone with you. Jesus said to his own disciples in Mark 6:36, he says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat. The fact is, the busier you and I are, the more important it becomes to schedule this time to just breathe, to be silent before God. If we want to experience the life of Christ, it's not going to happen at 180 miles an hour. We need to pause. So what do I do during this time when I'm going to pause and I'm going to be with God? Here's a really good place to start. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Habakkuk 2:20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple, and let all the earth keep silence before him. Just enter into that space and begin with silence. Might be refreshing to hear nothing. In Zechariah, it says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. So we're not talking about only getting away. We're talking about putting away. There's many distractions that keep us from Christ. I mean, think about what's the first thing you do in your car? Turn on the radio? Doesn't work for me anymore. I have reached out and turned it on several times to hear nothing. You know, what do we do when we're alone? Is it YouTube, you know, iTunes, surf the internet, and talk to some of the younger people. Probably there's something else in there, and I just dated myself saying those things. But I've noticed this. Have you ever caught yourself doing something? I'm not talking, you know, obviously immoral things, but have you ever caught yourself like here's something I've caught myself doing. I'm sitting in front of the TV. And I've got my computer open and my phone in my hand. And I'm looking at that. I'm looking at something on the screen. And I'm looking at the phone. And I'm like, talk about distraction. Talk about, in that whole process, I am present to no one. And so part of the discipline of silence and solitude, which leads to listening, is unplugging. I think there needs to be a time, and I'm not anti-technology or anything like that, but I think for my own health and my own relationship with God, I need to pause. That means that the phone is silent. Better yet, more than silent, maybe it's not in sight. Listening requires me to turn off the noise and to be quiet. I think that's a problem in our society. We don't pause enough to not only hear God, but hear the people around us. And here's the thing. This might not be easy if you've never tried this before, to be silent. I know you introverts are like, yes, I love this. Okay, the purpose of this is to go back out into the community, all right? We're not talking about escapism. We're talking about our own health and this relationship and hearing the very voice of God so that we can go out. So when you get away, put away. And then you listen. Because the whole point isn't simply to be alone. Although, like I said, you introverts are like, yes, I love that. The point is to be alone. So I can sense God's presence, that I can listen to him, and I can hear from him and get direction for my life. Because if God's continually whispering and I've got noise going on anywhere, I'm not going to hear that whisper. Luke 6:12, it says, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. He prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Why did Jesus pray all night? Well, pretty simple, right? He had a decision to make. And so he went to be with God, and he went to be with God fully expecting that God would actually speak to him and lead him. And I think that's something we should do when we're quiet before God and we're listening. We should expect at some point to hear his voice. I don't think this was just an experience for Jesus. I think it's something that he wants us to experience. And so he wants us to get quiet, stay quiet, perhaps read some scripture and pray. And you could just do this. Say, God, I'm listening. You are already here, and I'm entering that presence. I'm listening. And just sit there in the stillness. And by the way, it might be really weird the first time. I mean, I know for me, when I seriously try to be quiet and stillness and listen, I start hearing other things. Like, why is that bird chirping? What is this? What's the neighbor doing? Why is he mowing the lawn over there? And so all these things, and I need to pause. All those voices and noises, and just be there in God's presence. God, I'm here to hear from you. Let me give you a quote here. It says, there is hardly ever a complete silence in our soul. God is whispering to us well nigh incessantly. Whenever the sound of the world die out in our soul or sink low, then we hear these whisperings of God. He is always whispering to us. Only we do not always hear because of the noise, hurry, and distraction which life causes as it rushes on. By the way, that was written. Yes. So imagine that this gentleman said, hey, it is too noisy out there, and we need to pause, and we need to get away, and we need to be in the presence of God. How much more does that apply to us today? And you were created. I mean, as evangelicals, we say that, right? We say, hey, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Well, we need to pause and be in that relationship. You were created to be with God, to experience his life, to hear his voice. And I believe we can. I can, you can. But it happens on purpose. As you learn this habit of silence and solitude, and you make time to listen, whether it's maybe it's a minute, maybe it's an hour of the day, but to actually pause. And here's what I know. I'll just confess it right out. I'm highly distractible. I know that. I'm distractible. I remember when my children were little, and maybe you did this. You know, you're reading something. Back then, you know, we actually had like magazines and papers and stuff like that. But I'd read something. And the kids would, you know, they come up and go, Daddy, look what I drew, or look what I did. Like, uh-huh, that's great. I really like that. And did your kids do what mine did? They'd grab me by the face, and they would turn and have me look right at them. They know that I'm distracted. They know that I'm not present in that moment, and I'm not present to them. And you know what? I could do that as an adult. I could do that as an adult. Oh, that's great. Yeah. When's that happening? Oh, you just told me. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that didn't happen. So the same way with listening to the whispers of God's Spirit, it doesn't just happen. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes intentionality. And there's a learning curve, right? But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it when we take time to be with God, to hear his voice, and when we sense his presence. Because here's what happens when I do that. I'm refreshed. I am refreshed. He fills my needs and my soul that I forgot I even had. I think that's why the guy wrote that article. He said, I used to be a human being. You know, somewhere in there, and I go, oh, okay, this is right. This is what it's supposed to be like. I'm supposed to be in a relationship with you. I'm supposed to hear that. I'm supposed to come to you and find rest for my soul. And so when I do that, when I take time, God begins to speak. It's not always on my time schedule, but lots of times I was discussing it with somebody this morning that, you know, reading through a passage of scripture in the quiet, and I look at something and I go, I never read that before. Let me check the other translation. Maybe they mess this up and it's a newfangled, you know, whatever, those liberal guys rewriting the Bible. And I look and I go, no, that's always been there and I haven't heard it before. Maybe I was too distracted. Maybe I wasn't quiet enough. And then sometimes in the quiet, it's through circumstances. Have you ever done that where you said, God, show me the way, and some circumstance come into your life, or another person? There's a story about this young man years ago. He applied for a job as a Morse code operator. I don't think they hire people for that anymore, do they? But he applied for this job, and he answered this newspaper ad, and he arrived in this large, noisy office. And in the background, there was this telegraph just kind of clacking away, and there was a sign at the reception desk. And it instructed all the applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to go into the office. And so he completes the form. He sits down with these other guys that are all in the room. And after a few minutes, he stands up, he opens the door in the inner office, and he walks in. And so naturally, you know, everybody else sitting in the room like, who does this guy think he is? Why is he not following the directions? And they began grumbling. And a few minutes later, this man comes out of the office, and he's escorted by the interviewer, and he says to everybody, he says, hey, thanks for coming today. The job has been fulfilled by this young man. Like, you're hiring the guy that can't follow directions here? We don't understand. What's going on? And besides, he was the last person to come in. Jesus had an issue with some of those things too, where people said he was the last to come. But it was like, we didn't even get a chance to be interviewed, yet that you gave him the job. That's not fair. The employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come in and the job is yours. None of you heard it. None of you understood it. This young man did, and the job is his. God is always speaking, right? God is always speaking. Will you pause? Will you pause to listen? Will you listen this week? And actually, maybe a couple better questions is when and how. Let me pray and invite the worship team back up. Lord God, we're so thankful that you are speaking. You continue to speak through your word, through your Holy Spirit, to the events, people, surroundings. Father, I pray for my own need to be silent and to be still before you and to hear your voice. And Father, we know that there's great work to be done. We know that there are men, women, and children that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, may we pause. May we be still and hear from you so that we can go out and be your hands and the feet into a hollow and shallow world. God, have your way with us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Song.